a real privilege to share today. I must admit, this one's been a real wrestle. I was in a bit of a panic last night at about 12 o'clock. And as I've been walking this out, I've really been walking out my message. Today I'm going to be talking about walking with the Holy Spirit. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing this amazing series, There Is More. And we've had all these amazing messages about how we can be filled with the Spirit. We've learnt that God is still at work within us and through us, even in dry and difficult seasons. And that was something that Anika really brought home. Sarah had the idea of having both reformation and revival to bring the kingdom of God to earth now. And we were challenged by Nick to consider what are we truly full of? Because whatever we're full of forms us. And we heard about Peter, how once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, it transformed how he walked out his life. What an incredible message. And I think it speaks to everybody's heart that we all want that. We all want more. We all want the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. A life full of purpose, a life full of passion, a life full of praise, a life full of peace, all those things. And at the end of each week, we have been challenged with two questions. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it this week? Now, a couple of weeks back, I was sitting over there and Nick got up, must have been about 3 or 4 weeks back actually, he got up and before he started, he kind of had a reflection moment and he asked us all, what had God said to us that previous week and what did we do about it? And I was sitting over there and I can remember having this horrible revelation that I had done absolutely nothing. And I knew that there were other people as well because there was this kind of nervous little ripple of laughter through the room. And that got me thinking. Because if I'm honest, I think that's where many of us struggle. We hear a message on Sunday, we feel stirred. And I know during the course of this series, people have been filled with the Holy Spirit. There's been an infilling. Things have shifted in people's hearts and heads. How can we take that into the marketplace? How can we take it? Not just from Sunday, but live it out from Monday to Tuesday. And today I want to speak right into that space because God's desire is that we're not just hearers of the word, but we are doers. That the more we respond to Him and the Holy Spirit and what He's saying, the more we walk out kingdom principles in our life, the more we take the kingdom of God, His rule and reign, out into our lives, to our homes, to our workplace, to the supermarket, to the garden, wherever we walk. What enables us to walk in the Spirit daily? What enables us to be salt and light? As I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of a message I did in 2018, I think it was, and felt the Spirit prompting me to bring through an analogy that I used. For those of you who don't know, our fourth child, Lawson, when he was born, the retinas in his eyes hadn't formed properly. And as a result of that, he could see, but he couldn't see very well. Unfortunately, at the age of 7 through to 8, whatever vision he had, he lost. And now he lives out his life blind. And during the years that followed, he had to learn to navigate this world in a completely different way. How he saw the world had to change. And I can't help but reflect that his journey is very similar to our spiritual journey. When Lawson first lost his sight, he had to learn to rely on those who would guide him. He had to listen. He had to hone his other senses. He had to surrender his will to whoever was guiding him. He had to ask for help, and he had to ask questions, be obedient, and respond. Does that sound familiar? As believers, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, we have a whole new way of seeing and walking. Everything changes. How we view the world changes. And thankfully, we have this guide, the Holy Spirit, to help us. And the Holy Spirit takes on many different roles. And today I just want to walk through some of those roles. And while I'm walking and talking and sharing scripture, will you be attentive to what is happening to your spiritual ears, the ears of your heart? Because I know that the Holy Spirit is going to bring thoughts to you as I'm saying this about your own life, about how you are seeing things in your life, about the way that you are walking in your life. He is going to tell you and drop things into your spirit that will help you solve some of the things that you are facing. One of the first roles of the Holy Spirit is teacher and guide. John 16:13 is the scripture where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And this is what he says: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." You know, one of the first things that became paramount for Lawson was his hearing. As his dependency on what he was seeing diminished, his hearing intensified. He had to learn to listen because it became the most prominent way he could navigate the world. His life depended on it. Crossing the road, navigating stairs, climbing cliffs. And even now, he has speakers everywhere. Our house, I reckon we've got about 10 Alexas in our house. His room is just technology, and it's all to do with hearing. He has got so many setups. And you go into his room, you wave your hand, and the blind will go up. His phone talks to him. He talks to his phone all the time. In fact, recently a couple of weeks ago, he got glasses and they talk to him. They're connected to his AirPods, and he will come down to the kitchen. He was trying them out and he goes, this is what he said: "What am I seeing?" Or, "What do you see?" And those glasses took in, connected to his ears, and it said, "There's a woman standing at the sink washing potatoes." And it was pretty accurate. I was peeling potatoes, but there I was. And boy, are there parallels there for us. As believers, we have to position and tune our ears. And this is what it looks like. It means we are tuning in and reflecting on His word. His word speaks to us. It's this interaction as we're reading His word, as we're reading the Bible. It's talking to God at home. It's tuning our ears spiritually to what He is saying, asking the Holy Spirit questions during the day. It's when we study and discuss passages of Scripture at home and with other believers. It's when we come to church and we hear and we listen and we engage. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it's the quiet voice. It's the quiet voice that prompts us. And the Spirit causes us to trust and submit to that guidance. Jesus also said in John, "My sheep listen to my voice." It also says, "My sheep recognize my voice." That's another way of looking at it. And there's something about hearing and listening that we have to be prepared for and ready for and waiting for when the Holy Spirit speaks. And it's a combination. In this particular scripture, the Greek word, which I cannot pronounce, is okoua. Anyway, what it means is the idea of perceiving sound. And we can all do that, right? We can all perceive sound. Like Lawson, when he goes out, he is perceiving sound all the time. But within the context of the scripture, it doesn't mean just to perceive sound. There's this idea of listening. And I've struggled with the whole idea of listening and hearing because, you know, you say that and there's two kind of ways of looking at it. And so the best I can think of is that it's like this combination of the both. We hear something, but then we've got to attune our spirit and listen and be active because it applies to us. It's a posture. It's an active posture. I don't know how many of you have been speaking to a person before and you've been telling them something really important and they're nodding, but you know that they're just not hearing you. They're just not with you. All right? And often, it's they're distracted. There's not that active listening. We can be the same when it comes to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can just ride over it. We can be distracted with whatever is going on over here. And so we need to take a moment and recognize when the Holy Spirit speaks, there is an active engagement. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're reading the word, there's an active engagement. You're looking for that application because your life depends on it. A humble heart. Obediently following the Spirit's promptings. Every day, there is an opportunity to hear the Holy Spirit and His promptings. You know, to begin with, Lawson used to stay really near to us. When his sight has gone, he would stay near. He would stay in proximity to us. He wouldn't run off like he used to. And he would often pause before he went anywhere and he'd wait for us. In fact, even now when I guide him into university, he's got his dog, Aiden. And Aiden is helpful, but there's a lot of things that Aiden can't do. And often he'll say to me, "Oh, will you just take me into the lift?" So we'll get Aiden out And then Lawson pauses, he waits, and then he goes like this. He puts out his arm, and I grab it, and off we go. And there's something about that. There's a pause. There's a moment before he walks through every door that he is ready and waiting with his arm out to be led. Likewise, we have to do the same. It's this whole idea of abiding. And it involves slowing down, making space, and trusting in a voice that we've learnt to recognise. Recognising things is really hard when you're blind. But the Holy Spirit helps us to recognise things, helps us to recognise situations. Space, creating space for him, can just look like a pause. And in that pause, there comes a stillness. A stillness where we know God is on his way, that the Holy Spirit is about to speak. That still small voice is constantly speaking to us. And I remember one of the first times that I started to really become aware of the still small voice. And it was actually one of those moments where I was just talking away to someone and I was about to say something about someone else. And just before I went to say it, I heard this voice, don't say that. And I kind of, It was a split second. It was so quick. Now, I'd love to say, in that particular instance, I just was really obedient and I heard it. But I didn't. And then afterwards, there was this real conviction. Sharon, listen to my voice. And here's what it looks like. You see a need and feel prompted to give help in some way. You're reminded of a verse while listening to a co-worker share a problem. And a verse comes to mind. Your patience is at a limit. And God reminds you that his grace is sufficient for you. You're frustrated and angry and about to go off, and you just pause for a moment and you hear this voice, let love win, let it go. You see injustice or something wrong. It's like, speak up, say something. You're trying to solve something. You're in your head trying to work it out. And the Holy Spirit's saying, I've got wisdom. I've got discernment. Go have a look in the Bible. Look up jealousy. Search up around comparison. Look up about peace. And this is something that we need to practice. I can remember a long time ago, Stephen sharing in a message about how he learnt to practice listening and being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it was about him building. And it was about, he'd asked the Holy Spirit to remind him that every time he did a measurement, to just recheck it. And if he was walking off and he felt this, oh, probably should check that, that he would go back and listen to that voice and be obedient and check it. That is what we need to be doing.
Yep.
Pausing, listening, waiting, being ready, and it's only a split second. There's an incredibly challenging verse. No, I'm going to leave that. Sorry. There we go. You know who I'm listening to. All right. The second is the Holy Spirit's role to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know, Lawson learnt to read our tone really well and obey. He understood our commands. If we yelled, stop, or no, that's exactly what he was obedient to. He wouldn't question whether we loved him. That wasn't what was at play. He knew we could see things he couldn't see. He knew that we could see the outcomes of things that would happen if he continued on walking that way. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Lawson wasn't doing that to just get it right. He was doing it because he knew that it would affect his walk. He was doing it because he trusted us. He was safe in our love. And that's what the scripture says, doesn't it? The Lord disciplines those he loves. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Isn't that amazing? When the Holy Spirit is on your case to stop something, whether it be a way of thinking, a way of acting, listen and start to walk it out. And it's repetitive. It takes time. It takes practice. You know, often we can move into our own reasoning. Oh, but if he's telling me to do this, then this will happen. And what if this happens? And away we go. And I often think reasoning is a bit like Lawson's cane. You know, he will go along like this with his cane and he can bang up against things. And that's what our human reasoning is like. You see, a cane doesn't tell us what we're looking at. In fact, it can be really confusing. I can bang into this and I could bang into this over here, and how would I know which one's which? What works better is when he's got a guide, right? When he's looking to his guide, when he's looking to hear the voice, that works way better. The cane, human reasoning, causes confusion. If you are walking in confusion, if your head and mind is a mess, you are reasoning. Stop it. Stop it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first, what is God saying to you? What does the word say? What does the Holy Spirit say? And apply that to the situation. Not trying to work it all and way your way back to God with human reasoning. The Holy Spirit's role brings comfort and assurance in John 14:16. He is the comforter, the helper, and the advocate. We need to learn to lean into the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can imagine that not seeing brings an awful lot of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of looking stupid, and fear can paralyze us. During these moments for Lawson, and look, he went through a lot of these. I noticed that what Lawson needed most to hear from us was that we love you, we will be with you, and whatever you face, God will send the right people at the right time to help, and we will help you. And there is a comfort in that. There is a comfort in knowing that God is walking with us, His presence. We're not alone. There's a rest and a surrender. And this is what it looks like. A lot of the times when I was guiding Lawson, to begin with, I would kind of be like a little bit tentative as we were going. Over time, my confidence grew and his confidence grew. And I learnt to the thing I enjoyed most about guiding him was his company. We would chat away, and it gets to this age now where he just grabs hold of my hand, off we go, and we can be walking along, and he can anticipate when I'm coming up to step up to something. There's a relaxation. He knows that I am ordering his steps. There's a surrender there. There's a submission there, but it's not a have to. There's relationship there. And we will walk out, and I just really enjoy it. I get to chat with him. I get to talk with him. I'm with his steps. And I am not saying to him, hey, Lawson, in 45 metres, when you get way up there, there's going to be this obstacle, but don't worry, I'm going to be with you. I know what's coming up. That's what it said in the Word. The Holy Spirit knows what's coming up, but he'll tell us at the right time. And while he's doing it, maybe he's just enjoying our company. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, sometimes the translation is though he stumble, he will not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. You know, sometimes Lawson's blindness causes him to stumble. In those moments, am I going to come down on him like a ton of bricks and go, what are you doing? Why have you stumbled? No, of course not. I'm just so proud of him that he's walking his life out in faith. And doesn't that speak to the Father's heart? He's there to uphold us when we stumble. And you know, the accuser, man, he just likes to jump on when we stumble, doesn't he? Oh, look at what you did. Oh, you're no good. The Lord upholds us and reminds us of who we are. You know, there's times now with Lawson, I sometimes forget he's blind. Because I don't see his blindness, you know, and I think that's the beautiful thing. God doesn't see our sin, right? I just see him, Lawson. You know, when we walk out this life of faith, listening to the Holy Spirit, we can do things we never thought possible. Lawson wakeboards. He hoverboards. He climbs cliffs down at the lake now that we don't even go with him. and they're cliffs, they're high cliffs. I don't know, how high would they be? 8 metres. He'll climb up. And then you know what else he does? He jumps off, but he doesn't do a normal jump. He does a flip. And this is what I've also noticed about him. Lawson doesn't have a fear of the dark. He doesn't have a fear of heights. And he doesn't have a fear on the looks of what people are looking or their faces. You can't see them. It's only listening to the voices that matter. And that's what we need to do as believers. The one voice that matters, the voice of our Saviour. That's who we need to listen to. There is so much more. There's more in here. There's more in his word. But I'm just going to stop there and, there's one more thing actually. Lawson has had to learn to live out his life in humility and surrender. Pride and self-will are often obstacles for us not hearing God and not being obedient. And pride is like Lawson saying to me, I can see better than you. I don't need your help. I'm going to live like I'm not blind. And I'm not going to let you guide me. And there's that break in relationship. And that's what pride does. And when you look at it that way, you would think, that is just crazy. Of course he couldn't do that. And yet that's often what we do. We need to come with a posture of humility. I've been thinking about how can we bring this in to this week. And I know the Holy Spirit's going to remind you, but there's a scripture that says in Proverbs, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And when you think of the simple act of walking through a door, and where doors lead. This week, we're going to go probably through hundreds of doors, right? The doorways of our homes, doorway into our car, the doors into the workplace, dropping our kids off at school, supermarket. How about this week? Every time we walk through a door, we just take a pause for a moment. Just a really quick pause. And we ask, God, what are you saying to me? What am I seeing? What am I looking at? What do you want me to do? And I'd just like us to take a moment now to do this. If you just want to close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, there might be someone in this room and you've listened to all this and you've just started to come to the awareness that you're blind. That I'm talking about things that maybe you've got no comprehension on, or maybe you've just started to realise there is something else. There is something that I am missing in this world. There is something about peace and purpose that I'm missing. And there's a beautiful line in the Bible that says, and it's Jesus, and he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will listen and open the door and come in, I will talk and walk and spend time with them. And if that's you, you can ask the same question. You can ask God, you can say, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to do? Let's just stand. Father, we just thank you for your word, that it's alive and active. We just ask, Lord, we posture our hearts towards you. We posture our hearts to listen to your voice and to hear what your Spirit is saying. Yeah. Amen.